welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Jay Posner in San Diego, Kevin Acey. I'm in Peoria, Arizona, on my way to Glendale, Arizona, which is Cactus League Media Day. AJ Preller, who has not spoken yet, will tell us he's not going to comment on the reason for this, what they call in the business, Jay, an emergency pod. The Padres have made the most monumental free agent signing in Padres history. By some measures, the most monumental in MLB history. Jay, your thoughts?
Wait. I thought Greg Garcia signed a while back. Wait. Manny Machado signed, or is about to sign, or however we're phrasing it. So I did.
You're right, Jay.
So we definitely need to do this today. And in fact, as I was walking over to our booth here, which would surprise everyone what it actually looked like where I am and our equipment are, one of our page designers who doesn't work in sports stopped me and she was like, "Oh my God, I had to go to Kaiser today to pick up some medicine, and people there were talking about the Padres and this new player." And she said, it's front page news. And I said, it's literally front page news. This will front page of the website. It will be on the front page of the newspaper. This is literally a big deal. And as you said, the biggest deal in Padre history. You know, I think it's the biggest, the only two moves that come to mind like this, for different reasons. One of them was Kevin Brown in 98, just getting a guy like that was seen as sort of the, to use a word from now, the final piece. But that was almost a one-year rental. The only other one was back in the after 82 when they signed Steve Garvey and brought him in. The franchise had no credibility at that point, and Garvey was seen as a big deal playing for the Dodgers. They brought him in. He wasn't a great player here, but he did produce the greatest moment in Padres history, obviously, against the Cubs. So I think, you know, it remains to be seen how this all plays out. But for what we have today, this is a as you said, a monumental moment in Padres history, and one that I'm sure, you know, I didn't expect, and I think probably 99.8% of our audience did not expect to see the day when the Padres would commit to a $300 million contract for anyone.
Right, 10 years, $300 million, Manny Machado, and I haven't nailed down the details here, but Manny Machado can opt out after 5 years, and this was expected. I also expect a significant, big signing bonus because Manny Machado, as a Florida resident, will not be have to pay state income tax on a signing bonus.
Sure.
As you know, you're taxed in the state where you work on your salary, but a signing bonus is exempt from that. Also, deferred money. And I know that the Padres were going to get very creative on this. One of the funny things, one of the ironic things, is the reaction to a story that I did a month ago, Jay, about the debt reduction. And the Padres, at that time, the day that story came out, was their first meeting with Manny Machado. And at that time, Ron Fowler had said, doesn't anticipate that this debt reduction, this getting the debt payments under control, would result in any big signings this year unless A.J. Preller convinced he and Peter Seidler otherwise. Well, what I'm hearing is, in the last few days and especially today, A.J. Preller gets 95% of the credit for this deal in terms of his creativity and his relentlessness, convincing Fowler and Seidler that now was the time to make this commitment.
And why do you think that he's so convinced that this is the player to do this for? I mean, obviously Machado's put up some big numbers in his career. He's only 26. He'll be 27 in July. And he's put up numbers. He also got some criticism, especially toward the end of last year. But why do you think that AJ was so sold on Manny Machado being the guy for the Padres at this point?
They believe that after they did their research, and by the way, Eric Hosmer, who has known Manny Machado for a long time, and he vouched for him, and it meant a lot to the Padres. Also, Eric Hosmer's presence, Ian Kinsler's presence, they believe that is going to have an effect on, you know, Manny Machado and others. But they believe that Manny Machado is so talented that, you know, it basically outweighs any lack of hustle, real or perceived, mm-hmm. that the lack of hustle came in times of, you know, 99% out probability. His intensity, they believe, you know, accounts for some of the things he's been accused of, such as kicking Jesus Garcia in the NLCS. Not the first time he has been accused of doing that while running out of grounder. But this guy is basically, while there are no can't misses, they believe that his talent is a can't miss here in the prime of his career. Look, his career WAR through his age 25 season, which was last year, higher than Joe DiMaggio, Barry Bonds, Lou Gehrig, Willie Mays. He's a pretty darn good player.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I would hope that no one would question that that he's a good player. And I think if you look at this, I got a couple texts from people today saying, oh, I can't believe the Padres did this, you know, all this money, blah, blah, blah. But look, the Padres, I don't think that the Padres are spending money that they don't have. I mean, this is a situation where I read this from, I want to give him credit because I read this before I came over here, from, I believe his name is Eno Saris from the Athletic. And he talked about some dead money that the Padres have. And I know we've written about that before. Coming off the books, after this year, actually, they have only like $8 million of dead money for next year, and then it's all gone.
Hector Olivares.
Right. So there's a lot of money that they're paying for guys who aren't going to be here or who aren't here right now. And that money all goes back. That money's now available to spend on the team and the players that are here. So if you figure that even if you have Hosmer, Myers, and Machado – all making over $20 million for the next few years, you know, after this year with Myers, I believe. If those guys are making over $20 million, you're still looking at a fairly young nucleus in terms of guys like Urias and Tatis and some of these outfielders that aren't going to be making a lot of money right now. It's sort of like the NFL deal where you get a quarterback on a rookie contract and it opens up a lot of money elsewhere. So I don't think that the Padres are putting themselves in a position where, like, the future of the franchise is at risk here. I mean, this shows there's a lot of money in baseball. The Padres are making money, and they have this money. And I think it's great that they're spending money where they should be spending money, which is on players to put on the field and make this a product that people want to come see. They've been criticized over and over and over again, this organization, through many owners, general managers, whatever, for not spending money. And I think now they're spending money, and they deserve to get credit for that. Now, whether they spent it wisely is a different story. Last year, they spent a lot of money on Hosmer for 1 year. It wasn't a good deal. We'll see how it turns out. Machado seems to be more of a can't-miss thing, as you mentioned. But this sets things up. I mean, look at this lineup. Look at this infield that they could have going forward now for the next several years. And they have a lot of guys that are under control now for several seasons.
You're talking about Hosmer at first, Urias at second, Tatis at short, and Machado at third. That's a golly. We're going to have to do a comparison at some point here. What we think, where do we think the Padres infield might rank?
Yeah, I mean, once we see what see what Urias and Tatis turn out to be, I mean, right now obviously they're just prospects, and what we see from Hosmer as well. You know, are we getting odd year Eric Hosmer or even year Eric Hosmer? And you also take it behind the plate where you've got, you know, legitimate guys in Hedges and Mejia back there. And the outfield, sure, it's crowded. And I think it's crowded with a lot of players who have we perceive them to have a lot of ability and a lot of promise, but we also need to see it. I mean, who's going to emerge from Cordero and Reyes and Renfro and Manny Margot, and obviously Myers is pretty much guaranteed a spot for the time being. But you know, that's a pretty good group if everybody performs like the Padres think they're going to perform. And
so I think there's two stories, Jay, and you touched on one of them, and I'm glad that you differentiated between whether they spent it wisely. That's up for debate, but the fact is, 2 years ago, Will Myers, richest contract in team history. Last year, Eric Hosmer, richest contract in team history. And this year, Manny Machado, you know, until Bryce Harper signs, richest contract in any American, or free agent contract in any American sport ever. So they're spending. spending money. The other story is, okay, so what does this mean for 2019? I will tell you, and go ahead and laugh if you want, because spring is the time for optimism, but I'm comparing it to last year when the Padres were realistic. We got no shot. Even before the signing of Machado, whether they were misguided or it was spring optimism, Padres players and coaches were talking about the fact that they legitimately believed they were going to be better and challenge the Dodgers. Okay, fine. I kind of rolled my eyes in some of their faces and, you know, wanted to really see what that was about. Well, now they obviously think they're contenders, and we can sort of still say, well, wait a minute, what about the pitching? Remains to be seen.
I will say, without question, they are a better team when Machado comes to Peoria and signs his contract than they are before he does that. Now, whether they're contenders, I'm not buying into that yet. I'm not buying into contenders when I see the pitching staff the way it is. But I also think that this is not, and this is what I told someone on a text today, this is not a one-year play. You know, you're not signing guys like Hosmer and Machado and even Myers and even bringing up guys like Tatis whenever he gets here and Urias and the rest of them. This is not a one-year play for 2019. In 1998, that was a one-year play. You know, they had reasons why they were doing that. This is a play for a year down the line, 2 years down the line. And I think, yeah, they'll be better this year, and hopefully for their sake, some of this pitching, you know, develops. And I do think we talked about on our spring training preview podcast that some of these guys, you know, Matt Strom's going to do more this year, and a couple of these guys coming up that you'd expect them to be better. But, you know, there was a reason that, and I didn't buy into this, the over-under on their wins was like 76.5, you know, 10 more than last year. So there were people out there, because Vegas is not in the business to lose money either, there were people out there that were expecting this team to be better. Now, how much better? We'll find out. Are they going to have, is this a winning team right now? I'd say that's iffy based on the pitching that I've seen. But again, right. Is this their final roster? I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll see what develops. But there's no question that this team should be better and quite a bit better. But I, as far as contending against the Dodgers, I certainly don't see that happening this year.
And I think that that's absolutely fair, and it's a point that I've made. You know, when you interview someone and they tell you something, you say, well, wait a minute, what about this? And certainly the way that the people who are talking today in the organization, and not many of them are, they say, yes, this was a long-term play. But, hey, let me tell you why we think we can, and, you know, some of it has to do with, you know, the Diamondbacks and the Giants aren't what you thought they were going to be last year. The Giants certainly didn't end up being what you thought they were going to be last year. And so anyway, they believe they are much better. And guess what? All the guys in uniform, they have to believe they're better.
I would hope so.
And you know what? They became more entertaining. And I would expect that the fans and maybe some non-fans get out there to see Manny Machado this year, where there might not have been too much motivation in the minds of people before today.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard anything yet, and you know, that's one of the
things.
No, I know it's one of the things we talked about doing was where are they in terms of tickets, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if season ticket sales were down, you know, after last year, and I don't know what the percentage is, but I also wouldn't be surprised if there were a lot more people today that are interested in going to Petco, you know, coming up this spring and summer, and not just for the beer and the barbecue and the fish tacos, but to see this baseball team. And again, they have to produce on the field as people think they are going to before everybody can just buy in and say, sure, we're, you know, this is a contending team. I don't see them at that point right now, but I do think that they're progressing in the right direction, and today is a huge step toward contending, you know, as early as next year, depending on what other kind of moves can be made, you know, between now and the end of March of 2020.
Right, and you know, I think as I close in here on Cactus League Media Day, where I will be among the people at least trying to get something out of AJ Preller, and so I do apologize for any sort of distraction. I was driving during this time, so kudos to me. Plus, I'm incredibly jacked up on caffeine. But as far as what they might do by the end of this March, They're looking at veteran pitchers. So the consistent today and yesterday and the day before and the day before, they don't anticipate that they're going to make any moves. But look, is anyone really going to try to predict what AJ Preller is doing? But as of now, this very well could be the roster that takes on the Giants on the 28th of March or 29th. I forget.
I think it's the 28th, so we'll go from
there.
I'll
be there.
I'm sure you will, and I will as well. And it will be at the final opening day for Bruce Bochy, one of the great Padres of the past. And Madison Bumgarner always makes things interesting. And now the Padres have become more interesting. So we will let you go, Kevin. You've done enough distracted driving. I'm already worried about your expense account for Red Bull. I'm not even sure how much we allow for that between Red Bull and Starbucks. But anyway, please be careful. And thanks for doing the emergency podcast. And we will be back either at the end of this week or the beginning of next week with another one.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us.